John chapter 5, verse 31. If I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true. It is another that beareth witness of me, and I know that the witness which he witnesseth of me is true. Verse 36. But the witness which I have is greater than that of John, for the work which the Father hath given me to do, to finish, to accomplish, the very work that I do, bear witness of me that the Father hath sent me. Now chapter 10, verse 37. If I do not the works of my Father, believe me not. But if I do them, though ye believe not me, believe the works, that you may know and understand that the Father is in me, and I in the Father. Chapter 14, verse 11. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me. Or else, believe me for the very works' sake. Chapter 15, verse 22. If I had not come and spoken unto them, they had not had sin, but now they have no excuse for their sin. He that hateth me hateth my Father also. If I had not done among them the work which none other did, they had not had sin. But now have they both seen and hated both me and my Father. And one verse in Acts chapter 2, there is so much I have to tell you, so we'll just start out and then see throughout the month just how things go. Chapter 2, verse 22. The men of Israel hear these words, Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God unto you, by mighty works and wonders and signs which God did by him in the midst of you, even as ye yourselves know, and so forth and so forth. Let us speak to God again in prayer. Now, Father, we thank you for the word of God. Let us know that without the sun in the heavens, we would walk in darkness and know not whither we went. And without the word of God, our Father, there would be even a grosser darkness, and we would not know where we go. But we are thankful that you've given us the Son of Heaven and the Son of the Word of God, and therefore, it is not necessary that man should continue to walk in darkness. We pray, our Father, that we may understand the way your word would have us to understand about the subject under consideration. So bless us this day and this month in thy will, we ask of thee. Let us know our sins, we confess them, be faithful and just to forgive and cleanse as you promised, and glorify the name of thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. I believe in miracles. Not because I am superstitious or am inclined to believe in them, but because of the evidence around me. And not because I am a Christian, as it is expected of Christians to believe in miracles, but I believe in miracles because of what I see in the Word of God that enables me to understand the universe and also the history of man. It is a rational necessity that makes me believe in miracles. Let me put it this way. I believe in the Big Bang theory, and I believe that man is of the elements of the earth, because
It says, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Has there ever been such a big bang? And it says that God formed man of the dust of the earth and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Yes, I believe that man was made from the earth. But what I'm telling you is what God told me. Now, I want you to understand that it is not a man of superior intelligence that looks upon me and says that I am a fool, but it is I who am of limited intelligence who looks upon the wise and prudent and tells them that they are fools for this reason. The Bible says, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. And so I would not presume to call any man a fool, but God says, if there is an atheist, that man is a fool. And at the same time, the Lord Jesus calls a man a fool who does not understand that God, who made the outside of a man, made the inside also. And the Bible calls a man a fool who does not believe in the resurrection. And also the Savior calls the two that were walking with him on the road to Emmaus fools because they did not believe in miracles. So I want you to understand that I do not believe in miracles because all the Christians did in the Bible. The truth of the matter is that it took miracles to make them believe in miracles. They were not inclined to. This was their confession. When they had been witnessed to about Christ by the women, this is what they said. And some women came and told us these fantastic stories that they had seen a vision of angels. And need I tell you about Thomas, who said, I will not believe. And so do not think that it is the inclination of Christians to believe in miracles, because the first Christians did not believe in miracles, not the ones pertaining to them. But I believe in miracles because I want you to think now. Think seriously and rationally and answer me this question. The greatest scientists of the world now say that there was a time when there was nothing. It's not that things have always been. There was a time when there was nothing. And then they tell you next to believe that out of nothing came the universe. They tell you to believe that. And you believe that? That there was nothing and that there was nobody behind nothingness, emptiness. There was nothing and suddenly there is something, this universe. Can you believe that? And that this nothing, suddenly when it comes into being, is controlled by invariable laws, so certain that the scientists can tell you just where the moon, the stars, the portions of the universe are going to be at an exact moment. Do you believe that? That out of nothing came this universe that is so constant and dependable that they can tell you exactly where this planet, this sun, is going to be at a given time? Now, in addition to that, they tell you that out of nothing came this universe, and then they tell you that this universe that was composed of dead matter, suddenly, out of death, came life. Now, they are telling me to believe that out of nothing came something filled with inviolable laws, and if there are variations, it's because there are laws of variation, and that out of death came life. And they say, you're a fool if you don't believe that. I say that you are a fool if you do believe that. Understand this. If there is no such thing as a miracle, then what happened when everything came out of nothing? What is that? And then you have death, and suddenly there is life. What is that? You say, the two things that they postulate, that they cannot explain, they are the ones who first believe in miracles. The only difference between me and them is this. Indeed, the Bible teaches us that out of nothing came something. There was nothing, and this universe was brought into existence. But it says, in the beginning, God created the universe. The only difference between them and me is that they believe that for no reason, nothing behind it, no cause, it suddenly came into existence. And they want me to believe that. And they want me to believe that out of death suddenly came life. And that that first spark of life was able to survive and pass on itself and develop over these millions of years until here you are, the way you are. I tell you that that is miraculous if a person can believe it. But what you find is that from the very beginning, this universe in which man finds himself is miraculous, but he simply wants to set that aside and attribute the miraculous to nothing rather than attribute it to God. Because if a God brought this universe into existence and made you, you are responsible to God. And they refuse to be responsible to God. But now, concerning miracles, let's see if any brother, any man can tell me after creation how long it was before a person created a miracle. Who performed the first miracle? Evidently, you haven't been studying what you told me to come and teach you. Moses, the first one in the Bible, for hundreds and hundreds of years since the beginning of creation, no man ever performed a miracle until Moses came along. Which teaches us this. Those that deny these things and those that believe these things must be governed according to what is found in the Word of God for this reason. When I read about miracles, I want to know at what time they occurred, and I want to know who performed those miracles and why they were performed. I want to know why God waited for so many hundreds of years before he allowed any man perform a miracle. So the first thing is this. You do not read the Bible and expect miracles from the beginning of creation throughout all creation. But there are hundreds of years when miracles have never existed. Think of this. Suppose you came to Moses and asked him if it were possible for a man to perform a miracle. He could tell you this. No, because a man since the beginning of creation has never performed a miracle. Would that not be a rational answer? You would say yes. Why should we ever expect a miracle when no man has ever performed a miracle since the beginning of creation? But suddenly, God says, it is time to perform a miracle. And he said, Moses, you're going to do it. Now understand this. That when God would have Moses to perform a miracle, it was his credentials. And it was not that Moses came along and just said, I think that I will perform miracles. He was incapable of performing miracles. But God told him that something that was ordinary, that rod that he had in his hand, he said, this is what you are to do. He said, when you go before Pharaoh and you tell him that the God of the Hebrews has sent you and said, let my people go, he will want proof that God has sent you. And he said, this is the proof that you will give. You will cast that rod down and it shall turn into a serpent. And he said, now practice. And so Moses threw that rod down and became a serpent. And it so startled Moses that he ran from it. And God said, take it by the tail. And he did it. And he said, why, it's that rod that God told me to throw down. He said, now, take your hand and stick it in your bosom. And he did. He said, now pull it out. And it was leprous. And he said, now put it back in. And he put it back in. He said, just like it was before. And so these were the first two miracles that man ever performed, and God told him to perform them. Now, how many of you think that Moses innately had the ability to turn that rod into a serpent? You say no. Because his hand became leprous when he put it into his bosom. You say absolutely not. Then, it was God who said when a miracle was to be performed, and he told what miracle was to be performed. And he said, Pharaoh has every right to ask for credentials that you did come from God. Now, I mentioned that simply at first. The next point is this. Since God, after so many hundreds of years, finally decided that man was going to work miracles, well, from then on, miracles will be a constant, ongoing thing. You look up all the scriptures, and I want to tell you again, the numerous hours that you have subjected me to look up every miracle in the Bible, the Old, the New Testament, all the history, the chronology of it, I want you to understand that that's necessary. And I find that in the time of Moses, there were miracles, and in the time of Joshua, there were miracles. And then, what happened for the greatest number of years? You say, why? There were no miracles until a judge named Gideon, God told him the miracle to perform. You remember the light and the trumpets? You say, yes. Then there are great gaps before miracles began, and then after miracles begin, they are not a constant, ongoing thing. But then for a few years or hundreds of years, miracles are not to occur. Now keep this in mind because it's so important. When God came to Gideon and the angel said to him, thou mighty man of valor, God is with thee. He said, if God is with us, what about all of those miracles that we've heard about in the past, all the wonderful works of God? You see, he's saying, they were so distant, but they have stopped now. But suddenly God says, I'm going to be with you. So we do not know why, but God in Moses performs miracles, Joshua performs miracles, and he comes along and he says, all right, Gideon, I'm going to perform a miracle with you. And then after that, you say, why, ever so many years transpire before another miracle occurs. Yes, I remember the time of the judges also that Samuel called for that storm when everything was pleasant and quiet and the people marveled. I mention a few. But then after that, finally, there comes upon the scene out of nowhere in 1 Kings 17 a man named Elijah. And then miracle after miracle is performed. And after Elijah comes Elisha, and miracle after miracle is performed. And after that, tell me the other miracles that are performed. You say, I can't think of any. Well, of course you can. They were isolated things. And so for some reason, God says, for hundreds of years or so many years, no miracles are going to be performed. And now, a profusion of miracles are going to be performed. So you cannot say that the miracle to be performed is something that God has always done, and having begun it, he will continue to do. You cannot say that. The Word of God teaches just the opposite. And so, between the Old Testament, when it ended, until Christ comes upon the scene, tell me any miracle you can for 400 years from the Old Testament to the New Testament. I see. So for 400 years, they're gone. And so if I'd lived during those 400 years, and you had come to me and said, there's no such thing as a miracle, why? I've never seen one. My children have, my grandchildren, for 100 years, nobody. There's no such thing as a miracle. So, that's the argument that we use today. I want you to understand that God tells us that that is the argument. Listen to it. That everything is constant. That what they see, that is what they believe, and they must have evidence to the contrary. It says in 2 Peter chapter 3, in the last days, mockers shall come with mockery, saying, where is the promise of his coming? It said, for from the days that the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. You see that argument? What we have seen yesterday is the same as what we see today. But he says, this they willfully forget, and that he brings out the mighty works of God in bringing this universe into existence, and then sending a flood to destroy the earth that he made. So they forget. But notice what they say. From the beginning of creation, since the fathers fell asleep, everything continues all the same. There's not going to be any change. And that is the argument that they use today. Everything is the same. Nobody has ever seen a miracle. Have you? No? Well, then, there has never been a miracle. But what you have to do, and thank God for this record of history, that it tells us indeed for hundreds of years there were no miracles. And then there are miracles for many years. And then there are miracles removed for so many years. And so when God chooses, he puts miracles in the power of man to perform. And then when he says, this is enough, then no miracles exist. So the only thing that we can do is this, to look back and see that in the past, miracles were performed, and we have to accept the testimony of another. Because up until the time of Moses, nobody had ever heard of a miracle. Nobody had ever performed a miracle. And then for 400 years, nobody had ever heard of a miracle. And the Lord Jesus, for 30 years of his life, never performed a miracle. Think of that. Nobody knew but those few who saw angelic beings, but for an angel to appear, that is not a miracle. That's perfectly normal to an angel. I'm talking about a miracle performed by a man. But then, here is the supernatural when angels come and announce the birth of Christ, the miraculous conception of Christ, the miraculous birth of John the Baptist, and then you wait 30 years, and tell me any miracles that occurred between the announcement of the birth of Christ until the birth of Christ and 30 years later. And so you see, miracles are spasmodic. God is the only one who knows when they're going to occur and what they're going to do. And finally, when the Lord Jesus comes upon the scene, when he's 30 years of age, God says to him, it is time to begin miracles again. Why? You cannot understand the New Testament unless you understand the Old Testament. And if you understand the Old Testament, then you can understand the New Testament for this reason. When God sent Moses, he said, Pharaoh will demand credentials, and it is only right that he should be given credentials. He said, when my son comes to earth and he tells you that I came out from heaven into the world, I come from God, and I am authorized by God to tell you what I do and to teach you what you should be, you must be given credentials. Remember this, that the Lord Jesus said it himself. In John 15, he said, if I had not come and done among them miracles, wondrous works, mighty powers that no man had ever done before. They had not had sin. The Lord Jesus said, if I do not give credentials, he said, you have no compulsion to believe that I am from God. And therefore, when the Lord Jesus comes, there are to be miracles performed by the Son, and he constantly appeals to them, just as Pharaoh was to believe the mission of Moses because of the miracles he performed. The Lord Jesus said, you are to believe me because of the miracles I perform. And if I do not present these credentials, these miracles, he said, then do not believe me. He said, but if you're inclined not to believe me, believe for the very miracles that I perform. For that reason, the Lord Jesus had to perform miracles, and of such a nature that man must believe. And this is the next point. Today, the man with the rational mind says, there are no miracles, but let me tell you about the miracles of Jesus. They laugh and say, they never were performed. What happens is this. When a man that is holy and learned comes upon the earth, then after he dies, his followers say, we must give him more glory, and because of that, we shall attribute miracles to him. This is what I want you to understand, that when the Lord Jesus was on earth, those that were his contemporaries, not one of them ever said, you do not perform miracles. Not one during his whole life long. They confessed that he did perform the miracles, and the only thing they could say is this. You do them by the power of Beelzebub. You understand their thought? They cannot deny that Christ performed miracles, but they will not believe his message, and so what must they do? They must attribute the miracles that he performs to a satanic power, and therefore they can reject the Lord Jesus and his credentials. Now, that is brilliant. At least they have more intelligence than the people today who say there are no miracles because they saw the miracles and confessed the miracles. And you remember when that crippled man in the book of Acts was raised up, even the enemies and Christ's rejectors said, a notable miracle has been done, and we cannot deny it. At least they confess the miracles. But the only way they could refuse to bow the knee to the message that accompanied the miracle was to say this, it was empowered by Beelzebub. So, this is what men said of old when they saw Christ and could not deny the miracles. But now, since we are so far removed, they simply say, he did not perform the miracles. But the Lord Jesus said this. He said that concerning me, I have performed these miracles, and they must accept these miracles or pay the consequences. In Matthew 11, he said, woe unto thee, Chorazin, woe unto thee, Bethsaida, for if the mighty works had been done in Tyre and Sidon, which were done in you, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and in ashes. He said, the heathen of old, if they had had the credentials, the miraculous works that I have performed in your midst, they would have repented long ago, he said. It shall be more tolerable for them in the day of judgment than for you. And so what God has told us is this, that I've sent my Son, and I've sent him with impeccable credentials. I've sent him with such evidences that nobody can say that he is not of God. And even Nicodemus knew that. Rabbi, we know that thou art a man sent from God because no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. He understood and he accepted. Even the blind man, when his eyes were opened and the enemies of Christ were trying to refute this, the blind man who now saw, he said, why, herein is a marvel that a man opened my eyes and you do not know where he's from. He said, if he were not from God, he could do nothing. And so we see that an honest one of the Sanhedrin, Nicodemus, had to understand about the credentials, and a blind man had to understand. But the enemies of the cross of Christ refuse to believe. And since it's now time to stop, you'll have to come back to hear the rest. Let us pray. Our Father, we're so thankful for the truth that you give us in the Word of God. We're thankful, our Father, that we know what truth is, and your Son said, I am truth. And he spoke the truth, and he gave every evidence to confirm that the words that he spoke were truth. So let us rest assured, our God. Let us know that some come and teach lies, and it says they overthrow the faith of some. Let us know, Father, that if we are grounded upon the truth of God's word, and we accept the credentials that your Son brought, we shall never be moved. And you tell us, be unmovable, unshakable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as we know that our labor is not in vain in the Lord. So bless us as we further consider the miracles of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.